And I see that our beloved Nancy is here. Yeah, thank you so much for being there on the spot. I was, I have good news about me. I'm now discharged from, medical care, which is, it means at least in their opinion, I'm fine to go. And, the only thing I'm feeling a little bit is still a little exhausted, which means my body's going to, continue its healing for a while longer. But, everything is going well. I think our biggest concern, all of us right now, is something I don't have an answer for directly, but indirectly, the answer is in everything that Yeshua has delivered to us as a message. You know, something really sudden and terrifying happened in the world a few days ago. And I'm sure you're all asking questions about it. We're going to see if we can just get through the message today and find some answers embedded in what Yeshua has already taught us. Because I don't think any of us have particular, specific, concrete answers beyond what's on the internet being broadcast everywhere. We all pray for peace, of course. And I didn't really want to skip ahead in the book to the chapter on peace, but it is a powerful one, and I may skip ahead to it next week. If answers don't start coming around to us. But according to Yeshua, peace always begins inside, in your heart, in yourself. This is why he would even pull away from his apostles and the crowds that would just surround him and be praying for miracles, solutions or answers to whatever. And in those days, it was mostly Roman tyranny that they were suffering. And his answer always would be that peace begins in yourself. And he would explain to them that peace is actually contagious because everybody wants it. And people will replicate the peace that passes all understanding that you have inside yourself. The reason it passes all understanding is because it doesn't make sense in relation to what's happening externally. But what's happening externally is not a true power. It's a disturbance, yes. It can be catastrophic, yes. It can bring about great destruction, of course, we can see that. But it has no real power. It has no ability to destroy our connection with God or the faith we have in ourselves and the determination we have to uphold our values and to make the best decisions we can, even under pressure, to serve the Lord. The conveyor of life. The captain of salvation. The one who will lead us through the fire and over the flood of whatever happens, that we may arrive in a better place. We are going to talk about something extremely important to that in our session today. We're going to talk about faith and its place within the Sacred Heart, how important it is, and what makes our Sacred Heart both united with life and apart from life. Because faith
is the one connection that can never be corrupted. But you have to hold on to it. It in itself can never be corrupted. You can lose it and walk backwards. But as long as you are in your faith, it transforms your potential and your ability to be in the restorative prospects of life and everything about life. Before we actually begin, I want to issue some thanks. Thanks to everyone who gave me an idea about how to pray for you this week. I love getting your messages, and some of you, I had enough advance notice I could answer. The rest of you, I'll send a little thank you note after we finish today. But just know, I read every one of them, and I just ran out of time, which sometimes happens for me because I'm a pretty busy gal. And I want to thank Nancy. Thank you so much for being here every week and getting us set up and everyone acknowledged and welcomed and get us up and running so that when I arrive, I can just jump into the water and swim. So thank you so much, Nancy.
You're so welcome. It's a joy and a privilege to be here. So happy to see so many of you here today.
Yes. Oh, me too. And we are going to continue with chapter 5, Desires of the Heart. We're going to go through the sections of the chapter. Last week, Nancy blessed us with a reading of Yeshua's message to start the chapter. All of these messages came from Yeshua over a period of about 2 years when I was out at a church or a seminar every weekend. After Love Without End was first published, the demand for it was extremely high, as you can imagine. Well, it still is, but it's on a pace I can deal with right now, and that's good. But during these seminars and these blessed events, I would notice my personal voice would just be silenced. And another voice would come through me. Fortunately, these were recorded. And so these became his messages. He would be responding to a particular subject that was being discussed about Love Without End. So there's an indigenous connection between Love Without End and the keys of Yeshua. It's what's mostly different. Other than some added material. But what's mostly different is that Love Without End was the product of a conversation. And you know, no matter who you're talking with, your beloved, your mother, your brother, your sister, your best friends, conversations go all over the place. Because in the midst of talking about one thing, something else will come up. And I could not change the flow of that conversation because the nature of the flow was as much a point of revelation and interest as the particular content was. So I just let the conversation flow. And that's why you will notice mentions of the heart in probably I haven't counted, but I would think every chapter of Love Without End. And I had to pull those together to produce this particular chapter, Desires of the Heart. And I'm going to use the crisis in the world right now to distinguish between things on our to-do list, things on our want list, what we'd like for Christmas list, and the real desire of your heart. You know, if we get a signal about a hurricane coming, a tornado, we're not just in tornado watch, we're in tornado warning. Well, all those other lists don't matter. The only thing we really want is peace and protection for ourselves and our loved ones. In other words, our priorities change. And they change big time. There may be all kinds of things on your want list right now that just don't seem so important, because what you really need is your faith, your connection with God, your protection, your safety, your health, and the same for everyone you love, which for some of us includes the whole of humanity. And not to mention, the animals and nature in all of its forms. We do not want another great dying on this earth. We want life to continue seamlessly, and that becomes our priority. Well, you see, the Sacred Heart is there always to hold in place our highest priority. The greatest gift and law of the Sacred Heart is union and unity. You know, we could be tied up in our own wants that if a hurricane is coming to town, well, we're going to be praying for everybody. We're going to be concerned about every citizen, every dog, every cat, every tree. We're going to be worried. We're going to go into unison. And in unison, we communicate and share our faith that God is with us and all will be well. That's the way our heart establishes its priorities. The first thing it establishes is our union with one another, and even our union with ourselves to be in our best state of mind, intention, and goodness. From our faith, our own ability to radiate goodness will happen. Larry and I decided to stay for the hurricane. We had a very well-built house, extremely, well, made out of extremely strong materials. And we just went into the great room where the ceiling is very high, and we put some shelter over our heads as we sat in our recliners, and we stayed. We felt that our presence was our gift, to be there in faith, to be in union with everyone who was stuck there. And some people were stuck. They had no transportation. They were sick or invalid or incapacitated for some reason. They had no way out, and they stayed. Well, we stayed with them. And when I walked out the next morning, after it was gone, of course, I've said many times, won't go into detail, I was shocked with the devastation. I couldn't believe that we actually lived through that. Sure, we heard the winds, and sure, we heard roofing and tree limbs and other objects hit the roof of our house, but we could not tell the degree of devastation that was going on, because we were residing in our reason to be there, in our union with each other, and our union with the community to be there for the best good that could be created. And this is what happens when you go into the Sacred Heart. You begin to unify your family, unify your partnership or your children, but also your neighbors, your friends, or people you don't know at all. Most of the people in that little town, I knew well enough to wave if I saw them on the street. But I didn't really know anything about them. You know, it's just somebody you say hi to, you smile at. But after that was over, they were my friends. I could walk up and ask them, how did you get through this? What do you need? Can I help you? I remember one man very close to the inner city roadway. It was our only 4-lane street. And he was sitting on a bucket. His face red with blood. His clothing red with blood. And he couldn't move. Rescue workers were just arriving, and I found one immediately to go to him. But he was in a state of surrender. He was willing to accept help from anyone. And this is what we do. We accept help as we want it. My friends, have you ever been so down and out that you didn't know where to go, what to do, how to make things better? One of the best things you can do is just surrender into your desire for unity, because there are always people that are able to help you. There are always people who can rescue you, and they would want to. It's your faith that takes you there. Practice your faith every day of your life. It's your answer, your ultimate answer to survival. And the next desire of the heart is love. And you might say, well, Linda, if God is love, and love created the universe, why isn't that the first desire? Because it would challenge our faith too much. We were in a state of loneliness or depletion, poor health, survival issues. Our faith is not strong enough in love. We have to just have faith, first of all, in our unity, our union with God, our union with other people. The union with the Holy Spirit, the union in forces of life that can stir you into finding answers. And in that pursuit, you are then reminded about the power of love. Someone, something comes through, and you see a fresh and whole new picture of love. And you know that it's always there. But you have to hold it. And when you find love in those conditions, I don't think most of you at that point are wondering, well, where is my next girlfriend or boyfriend going to come from? You know, I'm kind of lonely. I'd like to have a partner. Where should I go? Is there a social club I can belong to, you know, and meet some really nice people? There's nothing wrong with wanting that. But in these moments that I'm talking about, you're not thinking about that at all. You're in a state of faith about the power of love as a force of creation and a force of
survival and rescue. For love is the power that can redeem you, body and soul. And to find that love is the second greatest desire of the heart. It's not your Christmas list that you're desiring. It's not that necklace you saw in the jewelry store that you'd love to have someday if you ever have any extra money. It's not that. No, it's the power of the universe. This is what Yeshua demonstrated to us in the courage he showed enduring the crucifixion. I love you enough to save your soul by sacrificing my life. And then we come to the third desire of the heart, which is life. Yeah. We can say trivial things like, you know, I just wouldn't want to live without this or that or whatever. We don't mean it. You really don't mean it. When you're faced with possibly loving someone you love, or your life may be critically endangered by something that has taken over your body. You don't make trivial comments about life. Life is the very force that greeted you at your birth and held you in a state of promise during all the days you were growing in the womb. Life is precious. Life is of God. And of course we want it. And the important thing to understand is that everybody else does too. They want to live. And they want their life to be meaningful and abundant. And I was just giving you these first three examples to let you know that we're talking about something extremely important when we refer to desires of the heart. We're not talking about what we would like most to achieve in life. That is important. If it represents our values, our purposes, and our reasons for living, of course that's important. But it's not on this level of importance. And I really wanted to emphasize that difference as we go through these sections of the chapter, because they are important too. I read you one last week. The second, after the message from Yeshua, there's always a section that's called correlations. That correlations means things that are similar, but perhaps said in a different context or a different way. And always I use quotations from the Bible. Not always the New Testament, mostly because they refer back to things that Yeshua said, but sometimes I may add something from Proverbs or Psalms, because it's all continuous and significant. And in relation to what I was talking about with faith, I'm going to read again. This one's from Mark 11:23. And it's Yeshua speaking to the apostles. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes
that what he says will happen. It will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. And Luke 6:45. A good man, out of the goodness in his heart, brings forth that which is good. The good treasure, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. We're talking about the Sacred Heart again. That's where you find the goodness of God that was touched upon you at your birth. And you would say, yes, this is good. Go forth and do goodness in your life. And he is always connected with you. But what most of us need to work on a little bit more is how to pray. The apostles knew that was a big question, a big subject. And they didn't really have the answer. They bugged Yeshua so much. He would tell them what not to do, such as don't stand on a street corner
bragging to God or to others
about your relationship to
the Holy. Don't do that. And
he would teach them, don't pray into your problems, but pray into your peace, your gratitude. Acknowledge God as the holiness of this world, the only holiness there is. And eventually he gave them the Lord's Prayer, the one we say so often, but even most of the passages in that we don't much understand. And I think it's partly because we're reading it in English. And it was not written in English. It was not written at all at first. It was spoken in Aramaic
by the one who is
connected to God above all else. We're going to cover that when we get to the subject on prayer. We're going to really talk about that prayer. And we're going to use it as an example for how to pray. Because the whole object of prayer is not to ask about this or that, but to reestablish our connection with the one who can provide everything.
The one who provided us with our life. The love within us.
And is our ultimate union in life.
That's the real prayer. And then everything else just happens.
It happens because we're in that state of union, love, and life. Now the next section in the keys is the key itself. And this is really a summary of what I learned about life through many years of teaching Yeshua's message from the time I painted the painting until these years long after, where it came time to write the book. This is where you put the pedal to the metal, so to speak. You make it work. There are examples in here about how to apply this wisdom and this knowledge in your life so that it has the positive expansion and delivery that you're looking for. It's
how your prayers work. We'll see a little bit more of that in this section called application, where we're very specific about how to develop your ability in this regard, how to develop your application of this key as an ongoing way of life, not just something you think about or you study, not just something that you practice on a regular basis, but it's now your way of life. It's how to take that extra step. But before we get there, there is also this section called Inspirations. And Inspirations has a very special, it's like the salt and pepper we add to a nice recipe we're making. We just add that. It's not really part of the recipe, but it's how we spice it up a little bit. Because the truth of God and the wisdom within great thinkers has always been a pathway for delivery of inspiration and guidance. The Holy Spirit was with God in the creation of everything. And that Spirit, even before the life of Yeshua, and after, before that Spirit was unnamed, unacknowledged as a person, but after Yeshua lived his life and left the domain of the physical world, the only person of God that was remaining was the Holy Spirit. And so it was named a person. The Holy Spirit now has personhood. And you can actually call the Holy Spirit, speak with him, receive guidance and counseling, ask your questions, and I highly recommend that you get to know this third person of God. All of these phases of God, there is God the Creator, who left the physical domain because he was finished creating. Not because he didn't care, not because he didn't love, not because he wasn't going to supervise, but he wasn't going to create anymore. The next step of creation, he gave to his children. If you want to read about it, open the book of Genesis and you'll see. On the sixth day, he created his children to take over his creation because we were now at the level where we could create the world, and we were capable of that. We can't create a galaxy. We can't create a tsunami. We can't create a star system. But we can and did create the world. Humans created this world. And we didn't do such a good job, which is the problem we're facing right now, is that we included hate. We included sabotage. We included betrayal and loss of faith in how we created the world. Now, that's not to say we didn't also create a lot of good things. But it's a mixed picture. And we've got to have that picture resolved. Yeshua began to resolve that mixed picture with his life. He came here not because we were perfect and not to make us perfect, but to get us on the right path. He didn't come here to create a religion. He came And he told the apostles, he said, I am the way, and I give you a way to follow. For the first 100 years after he walked physically upon this earth, all of his transmissions and teachings and apostolic visitations to communities all over the Mediterranean world and beyond, into India, into Egypt, into Europe, and to Rome. All of these visitations were called the Way. There was no Christian church. He did not create the church. He created the Way. Now, why would he come here and create the Way? It's simply because we had lost our way. And he wanted to get us back on the true path we were created to be on. He didn't come to judge us or condemn us. He just wanted to put us back on the way. And you can see from his response to the Pharisees and the priests of Israel. Well, the Jews, the Jewish priest and the Pharisees and others, the Levites, and the other leaders of the Jewish religion, is he said, I didn't come to change what you believe. I didn't come to change what the prophets wrote. I didn't come to change anything that you worship. I just simply came to make it better. He wasn't coming to create a new religion. And he didn't. Humans created the religion. And if you've ever been confused about which one is better, well, I think they're all good insofar as they provide a way to worship, a way to come together and celebrate the love of God and express our gratitude for his abundance, his care, and his salvation of our life. How we come together to worship is just simply a personal preference. And that personal preference is how we create our union together with others for the celebration of God and the union of God. And it really doesn't matter whether it's Baptist, Methodist, Roman Catholic, or Eastern Orthodox. It doesn't matter. Because God is what matters. Yeshua is what matters. And our union with one another in the celebration and worship of God matters. It's important that we do. And that's why it's important that we come together to receive a blessing. For the blessing you receive may also be a blessing for many others. You are a conduit of the Lord's blessing. You convey it onto others. What you receive, you will give. What you've been given, you will pass on to others. Let's make the blessing circular. Because it is. What you have done, you will receive. What you've given will be your harvest. As we give, we receive. And we don't give because, well, someone needs faith. I think that's the best way to say it, because faith in you is not what they need. Faith in God is what they need. Give freely because it's from your heart. It's where your heart is. And that's how you pull God into the act of giving. What has inspired your heart? What has led you to higher ground will be the highest level of your giving. And it might just be a word of encouragement. It might be, thank you. It might come in so many forms, but I promise you it will not be limited to the one person you give to. It will then be spread to everyone that is touched by that person's life. And on. You might say, God's love is very contagious. He didn't worry about leaving the creative theater of putting this universe together. He knew it was going on and on and on, and that we would do it. And even the mistakes we make, the shortcomings we put into it, they'll be overcome. They will be overcome. We have been given that promise, and I encourage you to believe it, especially in times like this. Believe that salvation will happen. Believe that peace will come to the world, and your belief will be an act of salvation. Believe it, my friends. Believe it. Oh, I hope you heard that. I had set my book down on top of my phone. Oh dear. Well, I believe your heart got it, no matter what. And if you have to turn up the volume, just know that it was my fault, not yours or your phone. And you'll get the message. It will come to you. We're going to turn our thoughts now to our blessing. Oh, let's see. Here's how we're going to do it. So we had in inspirations this time, we had a quote from Khalil Gibran, the prophet. And it's a long one. It's a whole page. And I'm not going to take the time to read the whole of it. But I do want to read the opening lines because it really relates to what I was saying. For what is prayer but the expansion of yourself into the living ether? And if it is for your comfort to pour darkness into space, it is also for your delight to pour forth the dawning of your heart. And if you cannot but weep, when your soul summons you to prayer, she should spur you again and yet again through weeping until you shall come forth laughing. Now, why would you go into prayer weeping and come out laughing? That's what I want to talk. This is not the whole quote. You're going to have to pick up the book to get the finishing touches. But why would you come out laughing when you went in weeping? Because most of us go into prayer because we have needs, a problem, something really breaking our heart, or we're afraid, we're hurting. When we make our connection with God, we know all is well. And that's the goal of prayer, re-establishing our union with God, so that we may expedite all the true desires of our hearts. And I'm going to fast forward. Well, I'm not going to go through the meditation because that's something that you have to do privately. But I'm going to recite the prayer from this chapter. I praise you, O infinite God of all life, all existence, and all goodness. I thank you for sharing your life and goodness
so freely with me and making me one with you. Help me to discover and nurture the treasure you have already given, that I may find my place within your rich abundance. Teach me to respect the evolving nature of all creation, that I may see every day as the answer to a prayer, and every prayer as the faith I pledge for the coming of a new day. Amen. Be in peace. Walk in your faith, and you will see miracles. And all, not always just miracles for yourself. You will witness miracles around you. Your faith is not limited just to you. Your faith is your connection to God. And God is the one who can move a mountain and throw it into the sea. Now we're going to turn our attention to our blessing for the day. We have a little bit of time. So before we start, Nancy, can you open our queue, our board, and see if anyone has, let's take a few calls until, you know, for maybe 10-15 minutes. And then we'll move right into our questions.
Okay. We have a line open. I'm not sure who it is, but welcome. Can you hear us? I open your line. Area code 858.
Oh, that would be me, 858, unless there's another one.
No, that's you. Welcome.
Thank you. This is Sandra. And I just wanted to say a comment about this chapter. It was before Gwanda started. What was really striking to me, which dovetails in with what Glenda started out talking about faith, is that Yeshua, he says, when the heart is in its true desire, it has no need at all. Only immense gratitude for what has already been given and a boundless desire to give in return. And wouldn't this be like, kind of like the zero point where we can let it all in, and it's like the great circle that we give back and we receive, but it's not really like a longing. It's just living very content and satisfied and grateful, and that this is just a comment that, you know, really jumped out at me, that the heart has no need at all when it's in its true desire. That's my comment.
Oh, that's a very good way of saying it. You know, the heart is really not focused on needs at all. Never was. It is focused on our union with God in living the life we live. And that dissolves all the things that we call needy. Yeah, we need more money in the bank account. We need a better doctor. We need a partner in life. And those are needs. Those needs just go away because they're unimportant compared to the power of the heart. There's a lot of ways of saying it, Sandra. And your comment was beautiful. And if we brought everybody on the board, they'd probably say it just a little differently. But we're talking about the same thing. And it's important in the beginning to establish what we're really talking about. Because when we say desires of the heart, we're not talking about letters to Santa Claus.
Right.
That,
you know, that is kid stuff. As we grow into the adulthood of our soul, we realize we don't need anything.
Yeah. Yeah, the desires of our heart is just living in gratitude for what we do have and not have that and, you know, everything else can get magnetized to us. But we're not longing.
Yeah.
We're just content. We're satisfied and living in God's grace.
Absolutely. That's so true.
Yeah. I think Glenda Robin said one of the greatest prayers is just thank you. And it's such a beautiful thing to live life like that, where, you know, we're willing to step into the unknown and live the divine way we're meant to live and be. And, you know, that's to me, that's always restoring trust. Like you can do that free fall. You know, you just, no fear. You just trust God that all, you know, it's not that we don't care about what's going on in the world, but, you know, the resurrection did happen. You know, the resurrection is complete, and it's there for us to understand what that means for us in our world today, too. So it's pretty inspiring to me, Glenda and Sandra, that this community comes together week after week, because that's the desire, you know, to just, you know, really, really get closer to God and transform and transmute everything and remember who we are. It's just such a beautiful thank you, everybody, because it really supports each of us every day throughout the week, and so happy everybody's here.
Yeah. We love you. You are very loved, each one of you, and we pray for you. In this blessing, Yeshua will come, and he will use the desires of your heart to unfold the miracles of your life. And I'm talking about real desires. You know, I don't feel that it's right to be dismissive about the subject of desire, because desire is different from need. Need is focusing on a lack thereof, something. The word desire, if you put it in its original meaning, means of God's. These are our ways of enjoying our presence in the Lord. Joy, abundance. These are desires, not needs. It's a very, very big difference. In the world, as a matter of fact, a lot of motivational speakers will speak quite wrongly about this. They will say, don't focus on your needs. You know, if you want a new car, desire it. And then don't just desire it, be passionate about it. And don't just be passionate, go and drive one until you've brought it into the reality of your life. They're going in the wrong direction. But that's what happens when you're married to the world. You begin to furnish your marriage partner with what she wants or he wants. And that is not what we're talking about. That's all I wanted to establish in the beginning, because need and desire are a very different subject.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I don't see anybody else coming on the board, so I think we must be greatly satisfied at this moment. And if so, and therefore, let's get ready for our blessing. What do you think, Nancy?
I think that's perfect. Absolutely. God's going to speak right there in our hearts through this blessing, and our needs will be met. So I love it. Let's move into our blessing, folks.
Yeah. Okay, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get a little bit active, because energy is what everything was created Love is an energy, by the way, and it can take on different energetic forms. Everything that God breathed into existence, he breathed from his own being, from his own self, and it took form from his breath. And his breath was the energy of creation. Everything is energy. And one of the things that I would recommend that you practice daily is activity. And I'm not talking about anything strenuous. You have to respect your status of health, your status of well-being or age, and be appropriate, but be active. Even in how you connect to other people, don't wait for them to call you, call them. Don't wait for something to come to you that will inspire you. Think about what already inspires you and be grateful for it, and then see what happens. Be active mentally, emotionally, physically. Get yourself moving in the energy of God, in the creative spirit of God, his will covering you and bringing you into the best quality of your life. And when we speak of quality, one of the things we're referring to, and I can say this as an artist, a teacher, a writer, is we're looking for harmony. One of the things that will mess up a class, let's just say I'm teaching, wouldn't matter what the subject is, could be art history, could be painting, could be the teachings of Yeshua, is you have to lead from one place harmonically into the next place. You build your layers of communication. You build your layers of understanding. And you have to create these layers of harmony that are part of the realization that will happen when a person finally gets it. You don't want people to just absorb information. That's not teaching. You want a person to absorb the energy of conveyance, take it into themselves, and then, oh, okay, well, that's it. I've got it. That's the response you want, regardless of what you're teaching. You could be teaching lawn care, and you don't want to teach people about organic versus chemical fertilizers or soil enhancers. That's not going to turn anybody on. You're going to teach them about what grass loves, what causes grass to reach for the sun and multiply itself. You help them get that, and they'll get the subject. You've got to move into it with layers of harmony. If you notice, when I'm going through the keys of Yeshua, I will build from one section to the other harmonically, not because it's the best way to do it or the only way to do it. It's just at that moment in time. It's the harmonic way to do it. And that harmony is what allows you to really get the message. This is true in your life. If you want to get more active in life, think about how one thing you're doing can lead to the next thing you could consider doing. You know, you've been out in the yard looking at the grass, talking to the birds, maybe even singing a little song or sitting on the bench. And then all of a sudden, you think, I'll take a walk. You couldn't have taken that walk if you'd been out. If you'd gone out cold call, you know, from sitting in your lounge chair, you go out, you say, I'm going to take a walk. You get on your running shoes, and you go out, and you're tired in 5 minutes, and you say, well, that was a bad idea. It's because you didn't lead into it from where you were to what comes next. And that's what we're doing as we do a warm-up for the blessing. We're gonna review your ability to bless your own life with good activity, with harmony. We're going to do some things for your body and your mind, your heart. Going to stretch a little bit, all right? We're going to, I want you, you can do this sitting down. So let's just start by stretching your legs, because you could be sitting or standing, and you do it, and you pull your foot forward, up, so that you stretch the back of your leg, and you activate the muscles in the top side of your leg. Okay, now make a little windmill with your foot so that you get your ankle as part of the action. Okay, and your ankle will be much stronger and more receptive to energy. In fact, this is a good thing to do every morning when you wake up. You will reduce your likelihood of stumbling or falling if you do this. Okay, take the other leg, extend it out as far as you can, and now bring your foot forward so you stretch your calf and you tighten the muscles leading up to your knee and your thigh. Okay, you're going to tighten those muscles. And then you're going to move your foot around like a little windmill and limber that flow up so nothing stops the flow of energy coming from the earth. A big part of your blessing will come from the earth, because the earth studies you all the time. It does. We don't study it. Actually, we hardly ever put our attention on it, but we should. Let's just experience the next time you go shopping for food. Spend a little extra time in the produce section, and just put a little gratitude into that squash or that tomato, lettuce, broccoli, whatever you're interested in, and think about the creation that it took to bring that all the way to your grocery store and possibly to you. And then feel that energy and ask yourself, is this what my body wants? If the answer is yes, put it in your cart, buy it, take it home, eat it raw or steam it or stir fry it, however you like it. The content of the food will be there. Don't advise microwaving, because I think that can actually mess with the natural energy of the earth. And one thing also I do not recommend in the blessing is for your shoes to be on, and most of all that they not be made of a petroleum product. Petroleum is a powerful energy of the earth, but it's not meant to be on your feet. And it can break your connection with the earth if it is. So, and the same goes for, if you need to wear socks, the same goes for selecting your socks. Okay, be barefoot, that's the best thing of all. Now, let's continue with working with our body. So now we're up to the core of our body, our midsection, the part of our body that houses most of our organs, and we want to keep them healthy, energized, and functioning properly. So we're going to take a really deep breath and put oxygen into this area. Take a deep breath and hold it. Let your diaphragm extend as far as it will. And hold that oxygen in that area as long as you can. And now blow it out. If you can stand up, stand. And let's just do a little twist with the torso of your body. Turn to the right as far as you can and stretch it. Then turn to the left as far as you can, and that will stretch the right side of your body. And now we have to move up just a little bit. Okay, and so what we're going to do for that is we're going to reach with our arms as far as you can reach up to the ceiling. Grab a chunk of life or a piece of plaster, whichever is most real in your mind. Just grab something and clutch it in your hand. Clutch it. And reach further. And now, move your arm to the side and stretch it there as far as you can. And bring your fist that's clutched up to your chest, to your sternum, which is one of the great centers of power for your body, because it helps to stabilize the energy in your physical heart. With the other arm, I want you to do the same thing. Stretch it as far as you can. Grab a piece of something in the ceiling, the roof or the sky. Clutch it. Okay. And now, make a little windmill with your arm reaching out, and then bring it back to the center of your body, to your sternum. And feel the left and the right energy coming together and uniting. And let's take another breath. Let's breathe deeply into that area. Because we're breathing into filling our lungs and increasing the oxygen that will be delivered to our heart. It can feel really, really good. Now, I just want you to look up to the sky. We're going to stretch our neck as far as we can. Look up. And relax our shoulders. That's it. Just relax your shoulders. Now, look down. Look down towards your belly button. Okay. And relax your shoulders some more. Now turn your head to the right as far as you can. And turn your head to the left. Don't turn so fast as you get dizzy. Just a gentle turn, a gentle stress. This may make you yawn. It usually makes me yawn because it's relieving a great deal of stress that exists between our brain and our heart. Our brain is constantly wanting to take over. And it causes a lot of stress between our brain and our heart. Your brain doesn't have the answer to everything. It has answers to problems you've created, because it remembers how you created them. And it's got functional intelligence. And so it can use its functional intelligence to solve worldly problems. You can count on it for that. But it can't create answers to the core of your life. And so after the blessing is given, I'm going to ask you to not pray any longer for a while, to not think about anything, not to formulate your goals, because if you bring any verbal conveyance into your existence after your blessing, you will be bringing your mind in. You talk to yourself a lot? Well, you're bringing your mind in. Whenever you use words, you're bringing your mind in. Now, I have to use words to convey this message to you, but I spend a great deal of time before our session in wordless meditation, feeling the presence of Christ and what he wants me to say. And then I just say, it's done. Let's go forth. And at that point, I can read. And I can read and just deliver what he wanted me to say. But it's a good thing when you're looking for higher guidance not to use words to pull it in. So we've got our body relaxed. We're ready to receive. And I just want you to stay in that condition for as long as you can. And I will pray to Yeshua to thank him for his blessing and to ask him to be with us. He's always with us, but he doesn't interfere with our life, because we were given free choice. Because only through free choice do we establish our character and do we establish our purpose in life. And we establish our connection with others. And we establish our connection with God. So he does not interfere. You have to ask him. You say, well, why do you have to ask him? Doesn't he just love us all the time? Of course he does. But that's not the same thing as interfering. If you're trying to find the right doctor, for example, and you don't choose him, he's going to honor whichever one you do choose. But if you choose him, then tell him. Tell him my faith is in you. Please heal me. Make me whole. Every one of the healings that is recorded in the New Testament, we don't know about all of them because there were too many to write down, but the few that were actually witnessed by apostles got written down, and they all were either prefaced or consummated with, it is your faith that made you whole. Even then, he didn't take the credit. He wants you to have faith in blessings that you have already been given, that you need to choose, because you have faith. You have faith in your own good choosing. You have your faith in God, and you have your faith that Yeshua is there loving you through it all. It's your faith that makes you whole. And so these are, we're preparing our body, our heart, and our mind to receive a blessing that will activate what has already been given. We have grown passive with regard to what has been given, because we think or say to ourselves, well, I don't know, you know, I don't think I was chosen to receive blessings in this life. Other people are just more fortunate than I am. Not true. That's your passive nature allowing you to think that, but it's not true. You have been given everything. Everyone else has been given. But it may be that you don't have any interest in being a billionaire. So you're not going to do anything about that. It's not your interest. But you may have a lot of interest in taking care of your family, in taking care of yourself. And on those things, don't be passive. If you really have an interest, be active on it, because you will activate the solution that has already been given. So whatever interests you, you know, it may be a whole new subject to learn about life, which will make your life more informed and more able to serve others. Do something about it. Activate it, and you will see miracles happen. It could be that, you know, you want to cultivate a talent that you think you have, but you're not sure. Maybe it's singing. Well, start singing in the morning. And it doesn't matter if you're not hitting all the right notes. Just sing. You'll activate that gift if it's there. You'll activate it. And pretty soon, you'll find your unique voice. And it may be that your unique voice is not a classical voice, such as a soprano, a tenor, a bass. You may find that it's a semi-speaking voice that speaks with rhythm and passion, love and conveyance. There are a lot of speaking performers that are wonderful to enjoy. You will just find your voice and not what other people think a voice should be. All right. So ask. I'm going to ask on behalf of our community, on behalf of the world. But you need to ask on behalf of yourself, your family, your friends, the things you personally really care about, that you want activation happening for them. So that comes next. And then just sit there and be quiet. Receive. Just receive. And when we are given the blessing, then I want you to lay down, stretch out on your bed, on a sofa, a mat on the floor, a mat on the lawn, wherever. Just be flat, totally flat, not in a lounge chair, flat, because we want all parts of you to be equal, everything about you to be equal, and also connected to the earth. Because you will have blessings coming from the highest of the high and from the earth from which you were created. According to Genesis, you were created by three powerful sources. First of all, the earth. Second of all, the spirit that was breathed into you. And the ordinance professed by your Heavenly Father that you are created in my image. There's a part of you in your sacred heart or some truly reverent field of endeavor for your life. That is the image of God in you. I read about the life of Mother Teresa, and I think, how can this small, physically small, spiritually, of course, awesome, elephant in the room, but physically small woman keep making demands for charitable support, and it always comes. This can't be happening except for the presence of God in her, because she would face up onto almost atheists, people who, well, let's just go to far enough to say they were not churchgoers. They were not interested in the work of God, but they were interested in humanitarian causes. And she would go up against the most hardened and resistive people for giving, as she always got what she asked for. Always. Even numerous times, she had to go up against the Pope, who had the last word on the church. And she would literally tell him, no, the last word is God's. She would humble him. What was that in her but the presence of God that knew how to voice back upon the opposition? This is what God gave to Moses to go against the Pharaoh. He gave Moses his own presence, or he activated the presence of God within. This is why you cannot forecast everything you're capable of doing, or everything that's capable of rising up within you. Because you have a potential inside yourself that is beyond your ability to estimate or predict or prophesy. There is that element of God within you. And yes, of course, you are a soul. Therefore, you are here by spirit. And you are from the earth, and you will return to the earth. So it pays to respect your mother, the womb from which you were created. And I'm not just talking about your human mother. I'm talking about the earth. She has enormous potential. Bring her actively into your life and oppose the crimes created against her. Defend her. Love her. Respect her. Well, we are at we're at the time for our blessing. I'm going to offer my prayer, and we go from there. Yeshua, our holy brother, the one who came to teach us that we are more than we ever thought we could be. With humility, we come and ask you to bless us. We ask you to honor the potential that our Father created inside us, that through our faith and our honorable actions, we may activate that potential and perfect our reason for living, our purpose in life, and that we may join into a greater union with one another and our Heavenly Father, which were your only two remaining commandments: to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and our fellow humans as ourself. Can there ever be a better definition of unity than as ourself? Thank you for all that you've given us in wisdom, in love, in hope, that we may have a greater faith, in talent, that we may apply all the possibilities of life to our betterment and the betterment of others. To joining, to celebrating, in gratitude, in giving and forgiving, that we may have a union among us that is based upon love and faith. We thank you now for the blessing you have already given all of our life and the blessing you are about to give now. We receive it with respect and holiness and faith and love. We ask these things for all people around the world. We ask that you bless the leaders of our nations that hold our future in their hands for resolutions of peace and cooperation, for building a better future together. We ask that you bless, feed, and protect our children who hold the next generation of humanity in their hands and their hearts. May we give them good things to believe in. Justice, rightness of purpose, and dreams that can come true, because they are filled with the values of God and the values of goodness. We ask blessings for those who don't even know to ask, for they have felt betrayed so much of their life. May their faith be restored. May they open their hands, open their arms and receive. For in their own time, and when it's right, they shall be welcomed home, and they shall see, in the glory of God, all that was given, and shall now be received. Nothing is ever lost. Help us to understand that if we don't receive something in one moment of time, it will be saved and given to us at such time when we can receive. Encourage us to prepare for the receiving, that it may come sooner than later. And with these words, we close our prayer for now, and we move into our personal prayer and our receiving. Amen and amen. Blessing givers, will you stand now and join me in conveying the energy of his blessing to each and every one here, and all who receive as a result of their love and as a result of their faith. Amen. Let us begin.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, it's time for you to just lay down. Surrender. Receive. Be all that you are. Receive the blessing.
It may come forth immediately. It may come forth in the future. But it has been given. And it will be reserved for you until such time as you're ready to receive it. I wish you a very blessed week. I wish you good health, peace, and happiness. And that you bring forth the desires of your heart. Bye-bye for now. And I want to see you again next week. All right?